Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I will just ask you briefly to introduce yourself because you are not familiar faces. Of course, we know you, Uma, and you brought people from Fairtrade, right?
Yes.
Can you
introduce them? I'm Uma from Oroville. I have just become a World Fairtrade members ourselves, and I'm here with my team, Anjali and Pushpanath and Devina, and we are in the campaign, and which is Anjali is going to talk about more, and Pushpanath is going to continue, and Devina will add to that same. So Anjali, please tell us, what are we doing?
Good morning. My name is Anjali. I represent the company Mandala Apparels. We have been Fairtrade certified since 2008. In May of 2015, I was in a conference for WFTO, International Conference, where I met Bruce Crowther, and he is the father of the Fairtrade Town movement. I got very, very inspired by him, and when I came back to Pondicherry, I discussed about the Fairtrade Town movement with other Fairtrade members, and it so happens that between Pondicherry and Oroville, we have the maximum Fairtrade certified members. And when I talked to them, they got very inspired, and they said, instead of just making Pondicherry, why don't we make the first ever twin town fair trade cities in the world? And that's where the impetus started. Mm. And we have been very fortunate because we want to launch the concept on 20th of November. And we have with us Pushpanath, who is a former global campaigner of Oxfam. And he's going to be launching the concept of the fair trade, supporting the fair trade.
Okay, before we go any further, because I know that this movement, it's keep going on for the last 20 years, I think, something like that,
yeah.
What actually that is, maybe Uma, you can explain to us, what is that? What is fair trade?
What is fair trade? Devina is just the right person, and she's right here with us. So Devina, go ahead.
So what fair trade does, that it organizes farmers, craftsmen, workers into communities and gets big brands to source directly from them. Mm-hmm. It excludes middlemen in the process. And it ensures that there is ethical trade systems. At the same time, products with the fair trade mark bring additional benefits to communities, where a part of the premium goes back to the farmers, but not as charity, as additional income. And then they, in group of equal number of men and women on the boards, decide what needs to be done with the money. When we get into the concept of a fair trade town, it means that each and every aspect of the town basically imbibe social responsibility. So if you have tea, you have fair trade tea, and you support the farmers and the Nilgiris. And if you go to school, you learn about food and trade practices. So it basically makes people more socially responsible and take a stand for a fairer world. Mm-hmm.
And I think also, if I may step in here, you know, trade has been very linear. So it is always at the expense of some, the others benefit. So here the effort is of trying to create a circular trade where from where it comes, it also goes back. So where we try to create a fairer world for every stakeholder in the supply chain.
If you are more practical, you said the number of freight traders in Pondicherry is pretty big, yeah? So which are the, like for example, can you list some companies or, I mean, the farms or whatever, who is working?
Yeah. So let us say the companies become fair trade. So the few names that I can list are Upasana has just become WFTO certified. Then we have Maroma in Oroville again. Mm-hmm. They are certified fair trade. We have Marville in Oroville again. In Pondicherry, Mandala Apparels, we are certified. Cottage is certified. Cottage Industries is certified fair trade.
Imagination
is certified fair trade. And we have Ambal Hammocks.
Ambal Hammocks.
They're also from Pondicherry. They're certified fair trade. So we have about eight of us who are right now certified fair trade.
The interesting part of it is that Oroville and Pondicherry, this congregation, that density is very high. We are at a small place, but we have so many fair trade certified members who are around, and we meet often. And what it shows is that as a community, we come across a very dense community, and our surrounding has many, many people, or being a multicultural township, Oroville itself, that we are very conscious about organic food, a fair trade, and this jargon is not a new to us, which is on India at large, it goes much subdued level. Mm-hmm. So our strength is that, to be together and so conscious. If some city has to go twin city as for fair trade, it got to be only Auroville and Pondicherry in the whole of the country, literally. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
I think it's the most important thing is to realize for me, coming from outside, both Auroville and it's definitely Pondicherry too, there is a pioneering spirit always. From the very early time, it's, you know, recovering this Mother Earth is at the center of the whole thing, you know, and therefore communities work in cooperation. Mm-hmm. So that spirit is very much, you know, very, very deeply rooted here. And that is the most important thing. This is why I came. I wouldn't have come and done any work on Fairtrade Town if there was no fire already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the reason that we came to this place, because it's already there despite anybody, people are doing it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we join hands with them and start to create this sense of a larger community which become fair trade. If I may add just two things. One is, you know, as early as 1880, there's a fictional character called Max Havelaar from Netherlands. That is the first story about coffee and how people were exploited. So this guy came and wrote this story about that. Actually touched deeply consumers across Europe, particularly Western Europe. So and therefore they felt like, look, we got to do something about producers from where we get all of our primary food. Mm-hmm. Here we are eating fantastically. They come to know for every dollar that you buy, less than 5 penny goes to them. So this is very important that the fair trade phenomenon is a phenomenon of regular people doing fantastic things. Mm-hmm. So that's how it was built. Today you have 1,900 fair trade town. Bruce Crowther, my inspirational friend, he was taking a shower and he thought, oh, what the hell I'm going to do? We can just have consumers going and buying, retailers being pushed to have a shelf of fair trade. We need to do something which is actually going to lift these things up. And he came up with the idea in a shower. Mm. And today we have 1,900 fair trade towns. And for the first time in South Asia, we're going to have Pandi and Auroville. I'm sure. And this is going to be the engine that will drive. And the stories are already there. I don't have to tell anybody. I say Mandala. I went to Janaki yesterday. And I say, everybody said, this is something, you know, you're very idealistic. I said, no. Businesses are run on the basis of fair trade. It doesn't mean they don't make profit. It only means they're being fair to everybody, from the cotton grower to the person who wears the clothes. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea.
Yeah, that makes sense. We were talking before, you were saying that for that thing, you're going to do something special, right?
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, special. So thank you very much. Yeah, that sounds good.
So what are you going to do?
Why did I do? There's a little bit of personal story. I always say this because I think, you know, in all our country like India, and especially India, Africa and all that, poverty impacts us very, very deeply, and it is generational. You can't get out of it. You know, I'm a working child at the age of 7. I nearly missed school, and the school is one which opened doors for me, you know. So it takes a long time for a family is already in poverty to get out of it. And most of the families are farming connected families. So it's very important. As a person who worked for Oxfam, we're looking at people living in poverty. And then we found that at particular point of time, the greatest threat to these people already suffering, trying to get out of this situation called poverty, is that climate change. And when it hits women first, worst, hardest. And we did a study on that. So when I was in Uganda, I was with a group of grandmothers. Just a little story. So I was doing climate hearing, just like here. We are hearing each other. And then these women said, we are very hungry. I said, why? Because they managed to come together and grow some maize, but they didn't have rain for 61 days and the crop has gone. So they said, can you buy us some bun? They were looking after 150 children because the next generation is dead because of AIDS or war. And I broke down. I said, no, I have to do something besides being an Oxfam campaigner. And I'm moved by Mahatma Gandhi. He says that if you see injustice, stand up and do something. So I decided to walk. So I walked from Oxford to Copenhagen, telling the story that look, you guys, this is already happening. Then again, I came to India and walked from Bababudan to Mysore, 550 kilometers, mm-hmm. reaching out to 30,000 people. Like you, the radio helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. Every evening, I was reaching out to 10 lakh people. So I would walk on the road, and my hair was even longer. So they think I'm some kind of a godman who is walking on this. They came with coconuts and garland and everything, brought little children to be blessed by me, you know. And it was incredible, spiritually uplifting, I must say that. So now it's becoming even more fantastic, because I found, you know, the likes of Uma, Anjali and all, there's real power here, and there's my friend here. She's really fire incarnated, you know. She goes around reaching to schools and everywhere. All these women taking charge. I'm just quietly walking along. I say, please, I'll go from town to town.
Okay, so you're going to walk from here to where?
Ooty.
To Ooty.
Ooty.
You two are working with him.
Well, we'll try our best to walk, but it's about 450 kilometers that he'll be walking, starting on the 20th of November and finishing in Ooty, in the place to be in on 10th of December. So we plan to start the walk from...
Yeah,
interesting detail will be that this walk will come backward and will link Auroville. So we would walk with him inside Auroville to see him off, that he reaches other side on his larger journey of 450 kilometers.
So you will start from, he will start from Pondi and you come here and then go to Ooty.
So the Pondi, the Gandhi statue walk will start on 28th of November.
Yeah.
And then Push is coming with many more of us who will walk with him to Auroville. And in he will cross Auroville and he will continue his journey to Ooty. So that's a plan now. So Auroville Radio's contribution will become very, very special in that critical moment, that how many of us going to walk few kilometers, if not 400, 5 kilometers, 1 kilometer, 3 kilometers with Push.
We were just in Odovi school. Mm-hmm. 50 children, and I said that, look, last time I did the same thing, 2,000 people across the world were walking while I was walking, and I know through this radio there are many Aurovillians across the world.
Yeah.
Across the world, they can walk 1 mile or 10 mile, and we keep kind of, you know, putting it in the meter, like, you know, these children said 50 children walk 1 kilometer every day, 50 multiplied by 20,000 kilometers by the time I finish it. So what I'm also asking is, because in the spirit of Gandhi, I won't carry any money, I'll just walk. I need people to actually take care of me, you know, by the end of the day, give me some hot water to have a nice shower and take the pain out of my legs, and then, you know, give me whatever food I will eat. But I like to hear the stories of the families where I'm going to be staying. And this is the most incredible part for me. So we will actually come and share you the route as well before we come on 20th. If you can kindly tell that to the people and all the people who support this, you know, Auroville, the great temple. You know, for me, that's the most iconic thing. If you can actually go around that and then, you know, get the spirit inside me and keep walking. So if you tell people to, you know, meet me on the way, I'll keep walking. They will all support me. And I want places where I can stay. Next day morning, you know, they take care of me, hand me over to the next group, and I keep walking.
So to support Push's walk for 450 kilometers, we right now are going to have a Facebook page called 450 kilometers for Fair Trade. Mm-hmm. And we have our farmers in Telangana and Orissa and people from schools from all over India and all over the world who will be walking with Push for 1 kilometer to support him. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants to register, they can message us on our Fair Trade Twin Towns Pondicherry and Auroville page and register to be the group leader for a region. And walk for us.
And the tagline is, because everybody called me Push, they push me around too. but they say it's go, push, go. Go, push, go for Fair Trade. You know, that's a thing. I think at this moment, I've been part of Fair Trade for 40 years. You know, from India, we set up the first producers group called South India Producers Association and stuff like that. But I don't think we had a movement as magical as this. And this is why I feel really stirred deeply. God, how much struggle we had. Now, you know, we got all these people without telling they're doing. So I think we can lift this. And I think we can actually rewrite the landscape of the way businesses are done in this country. And this country is saying that, you know, we are up there.
So then we will say, go, push, go.
Thank you all. See you on 28th of November.
Thank you.
Passing through Auroville, we'll work with you.
Yeah.
I'm most grateful for this opportunity and reaching our voices across the world to our Aurovillians. Please help us. It matters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.